We're back live from Channel 13, 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos, joined by, I had to put her in the seat where all the managers were sitting, and that's...
not that I'm a manager, though.
You know, anchor Andrea Moore. We're here in Studio A.
We are here in Studio A. Welcome to our home. I've been in your home. Thanks so much for letting me fill in for you from time to time.
One of the things that we've heard in talking with anchors and reporters is that when you guys go out, you want to hear and interact with viewers in the community. You want, if they know something, you want to hear from that. How important is that for you and Scott to answer?
Well, it's very important. I mean, we get our news from viewers. 9 times out of 10, a lot of the stories that you see on the air, they're from viewers who have either sent us information via Facebook, or they've sent us emails, or we've gotten it on some other form of social media. So the interaction, I mean, it really is about a one-on-one personal relationship, if you will. So when we're out in the community, we want them to come up and talk with us, and we want them to know that we are accessible to them.
Based on your experiences, is our community tend to be standoffish, whether you're out in the community or even more standoffish, because I'm hearing the Facebook and the email even more as and make it short and succinct, or if you're going to send something longer, attach some documentation to back it up.
Well, yeah, a little evidence and documentation is always helpful, but it's not necessary. I cannot tell you how many times I've done a story as of late that has come through Facebook, where someone has sent me a quick little direct message, or they've sent me something on, they posted on my personal page and have said, hey, can you take a look at this? And that is really what Channel 13 is all about, is being accessible, being there for our viewers, and being there for the community.
Scott, you're nodding your head saying, same answer?
Absolutely.
Same answer?
You know, I love Facebook and Twitter because broadcasting is no longer a one-way street. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. Now viewers have a route to talk to Andrea and I about stories. Mm-hmm. If they have a question about something they've seen, if they have a tip for Andrea that they would like to convey, they have a way to reach out. And Andrea is really great about responding to viewers and doing it immediately. And so to me, that's the one thing I love about social media, is that we're able to communicate back and forth.
Yeah, it's amazing. People say, oh my gosh, you answered my email, or you sent me a response on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that is who we are. That is who Channel 13 is. And we want people to know that we are accessible. They can reach out. They can talk with us. And we are going to respond. We're going to interact with them on Facebook and other social media platforms.
239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoon's name is Mike. Has a question for Andrea. Hi there.
I'm scared. Be gentle,
okay,
Mike.
How you doing, dear?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm the guy with the mover, the $1,300 Band-Aid.
Yes, here's a great example. Here's
exactly.
A great example
you
of...
You are definitely accessible, but you know you don't have my new number, and I've lost source, so what I'm going to do is, what I do, send an email to you?
Yes, you have my email address. Send me an email. Here's a great example, Amos, of someone who I knew who did some moving for me on a personal level, and he says, you know what, I got a great story to tell. And his story ended up becoming one of our series about healthcare and the high cost of healthcare bills from hospitals. Right. So it just goes to show you that, you know, our stories come from many different sources in many different ways.
I appreciate it, Mike. Let me go to Kevin. Got a question about news at
239-1310. Hey, Amos, how you know to get this show in the city. Hey, I had more head. You're one of the best journalists I've ever seen. Anyway,
well,
I want to know, Ruben has a good journalist hanging in town. You could be internship. And what's the rate of pay? I mean, not really rate of pay, but what's the earning for journalists and all that?
let me put it this way. That's a great question. I will tell you, my very first job in television news, my mom and dad continued to support me. So if that's any indication, and this was years ago, but I will tell you this, you know, I'm not in this for any money. I mean, I do what I do because I love it. It's about the passion. It's about the purpose of making sure that we are telling great stories and really affecting the community and doing something positive for them. So, you know, there's no amount of money that I would ever say is either too little or too much,
well.
But I'm doing okay. I'm able to pay for my son's school. So yes, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, let me jump in. None of us get
it's not about the money.
Money.
No.
None of us.
It's not about the money.
In many places, you don't make a lot of money. You have to do it because it's part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is something that you love. It's the reason I'm in it.
Yeah. It's good storytelling. It's all about telling great stories.
Let me go to Bobby at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, I have a question. Wasn't Chris left because Andrew Buckman was offered more money to come to Channel 13?
You know, I don't think, one, they can't answer that. The two guests that I have here, and what the folks at Channel 13 have said, both the news director as well as the general manager, is, you know, they would love Chris to come back and be a part of the family. And, you know, you never in this business,
you never
close a door, you never lock a door, and you keep making sure that the bridge works.
That's right. Great answer.
All right, 239, because it happens, mm-hmm. in our business. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go to Sadiq. How you doing?
Okay, Amos and your distinguished guest. I had a question. I was concerned about the complicity of HR, not only in Indianapolis, but in other cities, and specifically I had Atlanta in mind. And I was wondering, in terms of investigative reporting, I've never seen any investigation along the line of HR or human resources to see what is really going on, because in this era of where you can be fired right on the spot, there's a lot of complicity going on with human resources, and no one seems to have ever opened up that Pandora's box to question what's going on in human resources in terms of resume padding and things like that. They just a wink and a nod, and they just keep on going.
Wait a minute, what's resume tagging?
Well, there have been stories nationally kind of in reference to that, where based on someone's name, mm-hmm. that person may or may not get in the door because of a cultural difference, that it's being able to be picked up based on a name. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's real. That does happen.
Okay.
And we've told stories about that on a national level. But, you know, it's a great perhaps story that we might want to look into it from an investigative standpoint.
Also from an HR standpoint, is it also, and this came up with a listener just called the other day about the perception and the reality that older workers who have been laid off in this recession, they're having the hardest time getting back in. Is that also – see all the ideas that all these stations are getting?
Yeah, those are great ideas. I mean, that's something we definitely will put on our docket of potential stories for us to follow through. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
239-1310, 239. So when you guys – when it's Olympics, so now you go back over?
We'll have other colleagues that will go back over in February, and they'll spend a month
there. So who goes in
there.
February? You went the early route. Who's over there when it's cold in the Olympics?
I'm not sure that's been at least announced yet. So,
that's why your boss is standing over
it's
there.
It's a secret right now.
So you all are still in the lobby? Wait a minute. Who just – do they put your names in a hat, and then the news director pulls, and that determines who goes?
Well,
is it
a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of everything. Desire.
How many of you –
schedule.
You've been to
Hummet? I've been to two. I did the 2000 Salt Lake City Olympics – oh, I'm sorry, Australian Olympics for the summer, and then I did the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City in 2002.
Tell me your skiing story.
Oh, my skiing story. I was a little afraid on the bunny slope, but I'm okay. I've gotten much better. I mean, that was, 12 years ago, so I'm a little better now.
On the Wasatch in
yes,
Utah.
Yes, but a little better.
239-13, tell me, go to Dorothy. Hi there.
So much. And young lady, I've watched you so long when you ran the Olympics down Meridian. You know how long ago that was?
Oh,
that was back in 2000.
Lord.
Yes. That was one of
the
biggest moments of my life.
Can you tell the news the way you want to, or do you just have to say the way they tell you? When they keep hollering Obamacare, can you say Obamacare? But the real reference to that is affordable, and let me tell you something about it. Do they let you do that, or you just have to say Obamacare?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. And I think Obamacare is widely used within, you know, all media platforms.
But there's some platforms. People that still think it's a
pejorative. Yeah. But, you know, I think a lot of it comes from, and I think she's speaking of our tone, how we say it, whether or not that is sending us a message, if you will, to viewers. And there are times when people have emailed me and say, oh, the way that you said that seems as if you're maybe for that person or against someone. And our job is never to be subjective. It is to be objective. So we really try very hard to make sure that there is that distinction and that no one believes that we are taking sides either way.
Dumb question. The things you read off the teleprompter, are those your words? Are those the words where you sat down the computer and typed those in?
It's a combination.
Okay.
It's a combination.
I think we have very talented writers and producers and reporters who do a lot of the writing for us. Now, Andrea and I both go into every script, and we put it into our voice. Mm-hmm. So we may change it a little bit so it sounds like something that I would read or that
Andrea
would say.
If you see in that script before it goes, if you see an obvious error,
Oh, well, we change
it. Do you
flag
it?
Editing
yeah.
on the fly.
Right, yeah, right. Well, we change it. I mean, you know, for Scott, as he mentioned, you know, we go through our scripts two or three times before we actually go on the air, and we have a great working relationship with all of our producers, and so there is that constant conversation and communication to make sure that, one, the facts are straight, and two, when it comes to stylization on the air, yeah, we have a chance to kind of interject our own personalities, but it doesn't change the facts of the case or the facts of the story.
You all are the face of your stations. If in the meetings to determine a story, are there times where you're saying, hey, wait a minute, hold it, this ain't it, back, you know, are there, this is, because all, when talking to all the stations, you know, everybody's a family, and in families, there's feuds, there's disagreements, there might be some raised voices. Is that the case here sometimes?
There can be respectful debate, absolutely. I mean, any newsroom is only as good as the conversation that goes on in our morning meetings and afternoon meetings. And that means all of us being able to bring what we bring to the table, both personally and professionally, but be able to talk about those issues that are important to the community and for us to talk about it effectively mm-hmm. and to make sure that we are, for the most part, the voice of the community. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there will be times when there may be disagreements, but at the end of the day, we do it in a respectful manner, and we always keep the viewer in mind. They are our focus.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name. So let me go to William, then we'll take a break. Hi, William. William? William going once. William going twice.
Come on, William. We're pulling for you.
William, we can't wait all day.
William just missed a chance to yeah. talk to
you.
He probably wanted to talk to Scott. William? All right, William, move his chance. We'll take a break. 239-1310. 239-1310. Coming up, the meteorologist. So I will see whether their forecast is better than the Weather Channel on my phone.
Always better. Oh, she heard you. Always better.
Well, I couldn't even see because of the monitor over there.
You never know who's lurking.
All right, she's lurking. The investigators are coming to investigate. Bob Siegel, who's got more, he's got more awards than the museums downtown. And Sandra Chapman, Steve Jefferson, Dave Calabro, and others. We're live at Channel 13, 239-1310, 239-1310 after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's names. We're here with Angela Buckman, the weather lady.
How are you?
I haven't seen you in a year and a half. You've been in the witness protection program.
No, now a year and a half. You have not been watching the last couple weeks?
I've been watching. Okay. I have to watch everybody. I've been watching.
Yeah, make some more time.
You're back.
I am. So, it's good to be back.
So you're a year in the south of France. That was.
Oh, it was lovely. It really was. My husband fanned me. The kids play. You know, it was just, you know.
One of the things that, all right, you heard the crack about the Weather Channel on my smartphone. And
I
you're standing
did.
There in the back. But is that the challenge today for local meteorologists at all of the stations is because a lot of the viewers, they've got weather on their computer. They've got it on whatever mobile device or phone they have. And they're sitting there saying, wait a minute, now it says on the Weather Channel that it's 75 outside right now. It feels like 75. And today it's going to be partly cloudy, high 77, low 52. Does that put extra pressure on the meteorologist? Because the phone, if the phone said it, it must be right.
Yes, I get that from my husband all the time. He golfs, and he'll get up, and he'll say, can I golf on Saturday? I'll say yes. He goes, well, weather.com says there's a 50% chance of rain. I said, who are you living with? Mm-hmm. I can help you, and I can help you. Mm-hmm. You need the WTHR weather app.
I need the weather app.
Yes, because the difference with that radar on the Weather Channel and right. our radar is live.
From the Doppler out by the
yes.
airport. The big
well,
dome.
Well, no, we have our own.
You got your own
we
dome.
We have our own.
Okay.
And so all you need is that app, because that radar on the Weather Channel app can be as much as 20 minutes old.
Yeah, but see, my audience knows I'm a contrarian, so I have a Windows phone. I'm one of the only three Americans in the country.
So you can't get apps?
With a window. Not a window. You know, Gates wants stuff.
Oh.
So tell the app developers, you know, tell the folks in Columbus, Ohio, to work with the folks with Gates. How difficult was it to come back after a year?
I was very eager to come back. I love the weather, so I missed that part. I did shed a tear or two as I left home on my first day back because I had lots of family time. It really was a very blessed year.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed that part, but I do love the weather.
So now you're at 13. How difficult is it for you to start your own traditions? So, and one of the reasons that I bring that up, when snow time comes, the station's had a certain tradition about snow that goes back several meteorologists in terms of the count. Have you decided whether you're continuing that tradition or you're going to do something new? I mean, that because, you know, viewers got used to that from Bob and Chris.
Sure. Were they always right?
On the counts? I don't think so.
Okay, then I'm not doing it. I like to be right. So sometimes, you know, day to day is difficult because the weather's always changing. So trying to forecast a season in advance, or like climatologists do, years in advance, it's difficult. So I'd much rather be right.
We have had an unusual tornado season. I don't think we've had a couple of little small things, but nothing in this metropolitan area of any consequence. And this is going on, what, a couple of years now? That's unusual.
It is unusual, so we don't want to let our guard down.
No, because we're running out of the law of averages, I would think.
Yes, and remember, it wasn't too long ago, September 20th. So we had a big weather special last Saturday night at 10.
I heard about that.
Yes, and fall really is our second severe weather season. If you think about how the seasons change, and we can still get very warm in the fall, and then it can get very cold, that contrast in temperature and air masses can really lead to some severe storms. So we don't want to let our guard down.
So just because people suddenly feel a cold snap in the mornings, they shouldn't feel, okay, we're out of the woods for severe weather, tornadoes,
definitely
or anything like that.
Definitely not. In fact, in this state, there's been a tornado reported in every month of the year.
Mm.
Not too long ago, we had tornadoes in February.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen.
So, you know, Andrea, what's it? Have you broken her in? Has she gotten settled?
Well, she's a pro, so I didn't have to do that. But I will tell you, you know, I've known Angela since 1999, and I think I will speak for all of us in this business is that, you know, we have a true professional respect and admiration for our colleagues up the street and across the town. So, you know, her being here has been wonderful. She's like I have another woman on the set with me. In fact, we had a chance to play around last night. So, yeah, it's been a wonderful time so far, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with her and grow both professionally and personally.
We also have not had a lot of snow, both in the Super Bowl year.
Oh, wasn't that beautiful?
Last year. Now, we do want all the snow to be in New York on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think you're right. You know,
I keep hearing that. Is that the forecast that they're looking at snow?
I believe that's in the Farmer's Almanac,
right,
and they are forecasting some enormous storm for Super Bowl weekend. We took a family trip. Big road trip this summer. Mm-hmm. We went from Cleveland, Ohio to Niagara Falls to New York City. And on our way into New York City, we passed that stadium. Mm-hmm. That stadium is in the middle of nowhere.
It is.
And I just thought, immediately brought back to our Super Bowl and how great it was and how much we deserve another, and soon.
And just try to figure out how we can pay for it and get more and make sure we get more police on the street and everything else. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is. We're talking with the folks at WTHR Channel 3. You've been here now how long now?
It's since 1999. I remember the first day. It was in October. So this is an anniversary of mine coming up here.
So what is that, 14, 15?
Yeah, something like that. Do the math. Yeah. But you know what? It doesn't feel that long. It does not feel that long. It really. When I say it, I'm like, wow, I've been here that long. But it has been the best opportunity for me ever in my life. It really has been.
We talked to the big folks about how difficult is it when you are the leader. I mean, this slogan you have is not just a slogan. I mean, it's backed up with results. How difficult is that? And you're one of the faces of that, of this news department. You know, there's got to be, is there pressure, you know, to keep that up?
You know what? I have never felt pressure. My motto is, if you're great and you just continue to do what you do, and if you are truly a leader, that means everybody else should be following us. Mm-hmm. So we don't look behind. We continue to look forward, and we just stick to our game plan. Yeah, we might tweak it here and there. We might continue to improve. But we are the leader. We're the ones who are blazing the trails for everybody else.
Does it make it in Angela coming in to something? I mean, you're almost like the guy we just got from Cleveland.
Oh, yes, T. Rich.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's coming in here, and we're playing well, and we beat the heck out of us. How does it feel coming to something with that kind of – into an organization with that kind of tradition?
I just wish I could have had a one-yard touchdown on my first night.
I thought the weather was good that night.
It was. It was great. I don't know that it was, you know, a one-yard TD run, but it was good. I don't know that I feel necessarily pressure either. It's a sense of respect and honor to be part of such a leading team.
And we know since it's getting ready to be October and cold, and they've already collected all the coats. When is Coats for Kids will be what in a few weeks, couple weeks?
Yes, we're collecting outside the Colts game on the 6th. And so if you haven't donated, come down and say hi, bring us a coat. We'll take monetary donations.
So not this Sunday's game, next Sunday's game.
Yes.
Right. And then distribution is on the 19th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
So if you haven't gone to Tuckman and taken your coat, you can come to the Colts game as the Colts beat up whoever the heck we're playing that day.
Seattle.
Who? Seattle. Seattle. Oh, Lord. That's another one of those. But wait, we beat San Francisco.
Yeah,
so
it's all possible.
There's hope there.
Yes.
And the distribution will be out. Wait a minute. Where's the distribution? Because you don't have the Pepsi.
It's in one of the halls.
This is radio. You can come on over here.
It's in one of the halls there at the fairgrounds.
Yami Yetdek is Assistant Community Affairs Director and all-around good person here at Channel 13. When the Colts for Kids is a different location in the fairgrounds?
Right. It's at the Indiana State Fairgrounds Agriculture and Horticulture Building.
Okay.
And you just promoted me, Amos. I'm not the assistant community affairs.
We don't care.
I am the producer.
The investigative guy's my witness. Okay. All right, so that's where it's going to be.
Yeah.
So all that and more. All right, Angela, it's good to see you.
Yes, you too.
Today is, to forget the phone, what's the official?
Well, we had 78 in the forecast. I can tell you it was already 77 at the top of the hour, and we have 380-degree days in a row headed our way.
Woo!
So if you're not ready for summer to end, we've got you covered.
And the temperature right now is what?
At the airport, it was 77.
So the weather, my phone is lying.
See?
It's old.
You got to get rid of it.
You need the WTHR app.
WTHR app. Tell the app people the WTHR app for Windows phones.
We're going to hook
just
you up.
Just for you.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. We're going to do an on-air tradition because the troublemakers are here.
We're going to pass over the microphone.
You think I'm the troublemaker. Let me introduce Sandra Chapman has got a few Emmys under her belt. She's been at Channel 13 now going over 10 years. I had to read the bio.
Okay.
And she hangs with Bob Siegel. Bob's got more awards than they got in the garage. He has 4 Peabody Awards as the highest journalism and broadcasting award in this country for radio and television. Several of those Peabodys are here at Channel 13. He done busted, everybody's, they're both Bob Siegel and Sandra, some of the best investigative reporters. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You. Bob, I remember we talked when you first came to town from Milwaukee. Did you think you were going to have this kind of success here? Bring the mic on. Everybody wants to hear you.
Yeah, it's hard to, when you say success, I had a pretty good idea that this is a place where I could be successful because, as you've heard Larry say a little bit earlier, investigative journalism is really in the DNA of this station.
Right.
And more than market size, more than anything else, what you want is to be at a TV station where you have managers who are going to support the work you do, to give you the time and the resources to do investigative journalism. And I think I speak for Sandra as well when I say this is truly, it's one of the best TV stations in the nation to work at if you are an investigative journalist, because you really get the time and the resources, and that's why you see so many stories that have such an impact coming out of Channel 13.
I know both of you get leads from the community. How should they approach you? What kinds of information should be in that first piece of information you see, whether it's Facebook, whether it's a phone message, whether it's an email, whether it's an ordinary U.S. mail letter? Sandra?
Well, I think we want to hear what the problem is, give us a synopsis of what's going on, what they have tried to do. We always like documents because we like to know that, you know, there's some sort of a paper trail if possible. Really just letting us know what it is that they believe is a concern here in our community and giving us enough information that we can start to look at it and to, you know, dig a little bit and see what's actually there.
Bob, same answer?
Yeah, an email, a phone call tends to be the best way to get a hold of us and just be as specific as possible. Now, that said, we've both gotten packets of information that are, you know, there's kind of overwhelming amounts of documentation that can be sent to us as well. Just concise, right to the point. I've heard some of your callers in the last hour, ask, hey, why don't you investigate this? Right. Why don't you investigate that? Why haven't you done this or that? And we'd really encourage folks to just reach out and contact us either through our phone number or through our email address. And unfortunately, because we get so many tips, we have a staff of five. That's not enough to be able to get back to every single person who calls and writes to us, but we really do try to get back to just as many as we can.
I know Dave has been holding patiently, just waiting for Sandra Chapman to get here. Dave, you still there?
I'm still here. Thank you. I'll be right brief. Sandra, I met you at the NAACP office a few years back. Anyway,
okay.
I need you guys to try to investigate Abdul and find out when he fell on his head. We'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Let me move on. Oh, that's a good one. Let me move on to Anonymous at 239-13-DEAD. They've got a question for Bob and Sandra.
Anonymous? Yes. I am anonymous, but anyways, there is a really bad problem over at Crestwood East Village Senior Homes. And it's really, really bad. They got bed bugs and roaches. And we was wanting to know if Channel 13 or someone can investigate this problem because it's really gotten bad. I have a sister that lives there, and I've been over there and seen this problem, and it's just running rapid.
What's the bed? Wait a minute. What's the bed?
They're still wanting $800 a month. With these issues going on over there,
Anonymous, what's the health department doing? Have they complained to the Marin County Health Department?
I don't know.
That would be the first step.
I will call them myself.
Yeah, the health department needs to be called. But I bet you, if you call 636-1313, or you send an email to say, I tell you what. I tell you what, Anonymous, I'm going to make a deal with you. If you would hold on and give to Chris, the person you talked to on the air, if you would give Chris your name and a phone number where you can be reached during the day, we'll get that to Bob and Sandra tomorrow, and their staff can kind of look into that. Or it may be a regular story from somebody at Channel 13 to look into that. That's Crestwood Village West?
East.
I'm sorry.
By Shadeland.
Over off of Shadeland.
1343 Edmondson,
Building 6.
Yeah,
all right,
they have quite a few buildings over there.
All right, so you hold on and give Chris that information. I can follow up with the folks at Channel 13. Okay, will you do that for me?
Yes, I will.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 afternoons. Let me ask both of you all this. Is it becoming more difficult to get records and documents out of local and state government? Are they not following the law that we have here in Indiana dealing with public records? I mean, both of you all have had run-ins with state and local. Is it getting more difficult? Are they getting convenient amnesia and forgetting the law, the rules?
Amos, I actually think it depends on which agency you're dealing with. There are some agencies that are very comfortable. They know that we're coming. They will reply and do their best to get us records in a timely fashion. There are some, however, that may not have had us come before. So in some respects, sometimes they may not know. So, so Bob and I at times have to do a little bit of education even about what the law says, what we're entitled to, what they're supposed to do under the law. And in those instances, there are, you know, generally people that comply. But there may be others that might be, you know, a little bit more slow. I think we both have had those experiences as well.
And the real problem, actually, I think, is the law itself. Oh. Indiana does not have a culture of open government, and that's unfortunate. I've worked in other states where there's far more transparency. And the problem with the law is there are so many exemptions in the Indiana Open Records Law which permit state agencies, local agencies to withhold information. It really makes it very challenging to be able to get.
Is one of the loopholes the actual word record? So when, because we just have gone through this trying to find a simple answer to a question of how many lifeguards did Indy Parks have? How many were IPS students? And the city kept saying, we don't have records, to which I finally said, wait a minute, somebody had to apply for a job. That's a record. And we're going to be releasing what little information we were able to garner off of them on the program tomorrow. But is the word record becoming the way they can weasel out of it, saying, well, we don't have a piece of paper, therefore I don't have to give you anything?
There's a tremendous amount of ambiguity and, you know, very subjective interpretation that goes with the law. And, you know, I just, you know, saw some information, you know, from a former administration where, you know, they actually advised one another to have conversations, phone conversations, as opposed to writing things down, because if you write it down, that's when it's going to end up on the front page of the newspaper. So the documents that are there can be very challenging to get. And in many cases, there aren't documents because there's a concerted effort not to create documents, to just have the information conveyed by mouth so that there is no paper trail.
I'm sure with the record of achievement you've had, every big network has knocked on your door. They tried to treat you like the next second coming of a great NFL or NBA star. What keeps you here?
WTHR keeps me here. Indianapolis keeps me here. It's a great town to raise a family. I've grown up. I've lived in the Midwest my entire life. I have had opportunities to go elsewhere, and to be honest, I can't think of a better place. I'm not sure that I can do on a network level. I don't know that I would have the time and the resources to be able to pursue stories that really matter, make a difference in people's lives, the way I do here at Channel 13.
I know the two of you were listening, and so you were hearing some of the feedback from some folks earlier, and you might have been taking notes. I think all the stations have been taking notes, and you all aren't going to tell me what you're going to investigate, because Channel 6 and Channel 8 and Channel 59, they're listening, and you're saving all the good stuff for November. But you're doing something tonight. I understand with the thing with the ugly building blocks out of the old East Gale Mall. What are you doing at 11?
Well, that's an interesting way to put it, but it's called The Rock, Amos, the Regional Operations Center. And back in January, I was the first reporter to tell our residents here in the city that they were spending $35 an hour for a firefighter to walk around to look for fire in that building because it was not up to fire code. Well, tonight, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, this facility was shut down by our public safety director who said it's not safe. So we're going a little bit deeper. We are trying to enlighten our viewers about what it is that their taxpayer dollars are paying for, where the money is going, where it's not going. And so that's our report tonight at 11 o'clock.
Is that an example of, I know you all heard the caller, how come y'all ain't investigating this mess in the city and that mess? That this is an example of maybe a mess you are investigating in the city?
Amos, we investigate all kinds of things. I mean, if you think about, just look back over the past year what we've done. Bob has looked into prescriptions not being filled for folks because of a pharmacy that has been fined for being negligent in another state. We have done investigations on a $7 million fund that's just sitting there not helping our veterans, and everybody went out buying these license plates to support our troops. So we're covering lots of ground, and again, I think that our managers have already spoken that it's not always always Bob and I. Of course, we're doing as much as we can do, but we're also having our daily reporters out there asking those tough questions, asking the city, talking to agencies and other organizations about how they are being responsive or what, you know, they are or are not doing.
Bob Siegel, your story and, you know, dealing with the jobs that aren't there in our state made a lot of noise. Are you now not on the president of Purdue's Christmas card list? I'm not on the mayor's Christmas card list, so you know that this is the penalty that comes. You don't get a lot of Christmas cards.
Yeah, no, Mr. Daniels has not sent me any notes or emails lately. You know, with all due respect, I mean, our state leaders have a very challenging job to do. Mm-hmm. I think Sandra and I, more than anything, we certainly try to be fair. We try to be open. We don't ambush anybody. I know there was a day and a time, you know, probably 10, 20 years ago when that was the popular thing to make good TV. People mm-hmm. wanted to see, you know, an investigator running after someone right. down the street. We don't do that anymore. You know, we really try to be very upfront and forthcoming about the stories that we're working on, give folks a chance to respond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they don't, our job is to try and hold them accountable.
13 investigates tonight at 11.
Tonight at 11 o'clock.
Tell the boss, you know, that they need to just, I know it's on the website at WTHR.com, you know, but they need to, folks that fall asleep and then they wake up and maybe the shortened, the abridged version, you know, in the morning on, you know, on Sunrise. I'm trying to help get the stuff out more.
Right, and we do, our stories are on our website, so we hope that you can stay up, but if you can't, we do try to make sure that there's a way that, you know, you can get caught up on what the latest is.
We know
is.
Bob Siegel got some mess waiting for November. Just something tells me in November. I just have that feeling.
Do you have a second for us to give a plug? We'll give the contact
yeah.
information again
yeah,
for
go
folks.
Ahead.
So 13 investigates.
13 investigates.
At WTHR.com to okay. send us an email. The hotline for the investigative team, it's 655-5777.
655-5777.
That'll get you through to our hotline where we take tips. And we encourage you, if you go on our website, you can send Sandra or I a direct email, and we certainly try and respond to all the correspondence that we get as frequently as we can.
All right. I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll go to Steve Jefferson because he's out and about investigating crime because he's the crime beat reporter. We'll go to him after the break, along with Dave Calabro, who will tell us about $1,600 pairs of shoes for some Pacer guy.
Not me. Yeah.
Not you? We could both say those shoes were $1,600. Nobody would know. Bob Siegel wouldn't investigate it. It's after news with Amos Weird Channel 13 after these. I did think. Dave Calabro didn't think. It's my name on the program.
You didn't think of this. You did not think of this concept to come over and be with us.
It is my name
Man, you cannot.
On the program.
Come on.
We are trying to save gas money on the van. 239-1310. Steve Jefferson, originally supposed to be with us in studio, but wherever crime is, he's out there and on serious tip. We had someone killed at a gas station earlier, three people in custody. Steve, how you doing? What's the current situation?
Well, right now, police are still working and putting together their probable causes and against the suspects. Three of them arrested in that particular shooting. The clerk, unfortunately, shot dead. Had only been there for a short while, who also lives on the northwest side, not far from where he worked. Very unfortunate situation. So, yes, we're going to be following that investigation as well.
How difficult is it to do a crime beat every day? I mean, does that, I mean, for law enforcement, it kind of gets on them. Does it get on you?
Well, sometimes it does, but, you know, when you do crime every day, able to help, when you're able to help generate leads for investigators through Crime Stoppers, it's rewarding.
Mm. So one of the things that that we've heard from not only your colleagues here at Channel 13, but the other stations that we visited, the importance of you want to hear from people when you're out on the story. You want to hear from the community. Is it easier for you as the crime beat, or is it harder because people look at you and say, oh, you're the guy that deals with the bad news, and I don't know whether I want to deal with you?
Yeah, sometimes people will say, you know, if they see Steve Jefferson knocking on the door driving up in the neighborhood, something bad has happened. But by the same token, there are people who reach out because they want something done. They want criminals exposed. They want issues addressed in their neighborhood, whether it's burglary, car break-in, smash and grabs, whatever. So it's a two-edged sword.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but the fact that we are having in this community a discussion and we seem to be moving toward a consensus of putting more police officers in the street, or at least starting the process of replacing the officers who are retiring every year, is that a good thing?
It is a good thing. That's another two-edged sword. When you have officers on average, 50 on average that are retiring every year, you're losing your experienced officers. You're losing the officers that people have become to know, people who have grown up with police officers that they're used to seeing in their neighborhood. And then you're getting new young blood on the street that we need. So that's another two-edged sword.
All right, Steve Jefferson, I'm going to let you go back and finish the story because you'll be reporting this at 5, 6, and 11.
Well, let me tell you what we got coming up at 5:30, and you don't want to miss it, Amos. I'm working on a special investigation, a special story about two women who have gone on a crime spree in three different cities, and police in three different cities are trying to identify these women, and we're going to expose them. We're going to put them on blast. So if you follow me on Twitter, get on my Facebook page, you'll get to see what they look like and possibly earn a cash reward from Crime Stoppers by helping police identify these women. You can remain anonymous.
Is this a real-life Thelma and Louise?
Yes, sir.
See, Dave, you got Dave Calabro. He can't wait till 5:30. He cannot wait. I appreciate it,
I'm
Steve. Thank
that.
You. You're going to watch that one? So you were down with Paul George, got $90 million and $1,600 shoes.
How about that deal, huh?
How about that?
Hey, welcome to Channel 13. It's cool to
I'm
have you in
to be
studio.
Over
That's
here.
Really cool.
I'm over here looking at the jam set.
Well, you know what? You're sitting in Reggie Wayne's seat. So
I'm
you
sitting
better,
in Reggie Wayne's
yes,
seat?
Yes, so you better be bringing it.
Okay.
Because my brother Reggie brings it each and every Sunday night on the Sports Jam. So you,
so
better,
did,
you after, better represent
after,
here.
After, how you, we talked about the investigated, we talked about the weather. How important is sports to this franchise you've got here that has been on top for a long time?
I think this is vital to what we do. I think people, there's so much going on in our local community with crime and everything. You know, everything's happened. It's pretty heavy times, but I look at my role as the chance to escape from reality. Sports is an escape for people. This is the chance for people to unplug and to have some fun, and that's how I try to treat our sports cast, to bring a little energy and light to the scene so you can escape from all those things that Steve was just talking about. Our thoughts and prayers go out to those people that, you know, more shootings in our town. It breaks my heart to hear that again, you know.
But and then Friday is here. That's Operation Football.
I'm the ringleader, man.
I didn't realize till Grandbaby was in high, did her high school years, how big football is.
Crazy, isn't it?
Here. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And we've had people call up and say, you know, how come these TV stations don't cover, you know, IPS games? But Tech is doing well.
No, we do cover. We don't. I would say we're not there every week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at Carmel every week. I'm not at, you know, we there's so many schools that want us to be here. Last week I was at Westell. Have you ever been to Westell?
No.
I was at Mount Vernon. Ever been to Mount Vernon?
Yeah.
What about Yorktown? Been there?
I've been to Yorktown.
Okay, see, so we're all over the place, and we try to spread it out. That's what's great about Operation Football. Each week we try to hit different schools, you know, whether it's Tech, whether it's Chittard, where it's, you know, we try to bounce all over the place, so we try to show the love.
Is it also that viewers don't see when an IPS field is being used as a neutral field by some other
team? Yes, that
happens. And the Tech field is gorgeous.
It's awesome.
With the turf from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout-out to Tech. From what I hear, those gentlemen who are leading that program went door-to-door this summer, knocking on doors, asking kids to play. So they've been a great source and role model for those kids over there to watch how the league's developed.
And if they don't have a winning record, they're awful close to having
they're close.
A winning.
They've had a couple of great games. They should be at the, they should have been there. They had Carmel on the ropes late. They should have won that game. So it's cool to see that developing. I brought you Operation Football T-shirts, by the way.
I've never gotten one.
Well, now you got several. So now you got the subject to do
it. My official Operation Football. How did that start?
You know, I had this stupid idea back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
In Dayton, Ohio, we started doing Operation Football with a couple of guys. I had this crazy idea to get out each and every Friday night and make it about community, and that's what we try to do. It's about, if you watch it, yes, there's football in there, but it's about kids having fun and schools getting involved and people getting involved and kids expressing themselves on a Friday night. When I went to Ben Davis and we had games against Washington, or, you know, I mean, there was a school spirit that was, you know, every week it was just this fire, and so that's what we're trying to continue to generate, and we've been doing it 21 years now.
21
and,
years.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. We've been doing it 21 years, and each and every Friday night I'm up in the helicopter bouncing around, throwing out t-shirts.
And that's the helicopter with the fancy-dancy HD TV camera and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a brag guy, but we started this madness in town with all this high school football coverage, and I'm proud of what our guys do and all the men and women behind the scenes. That we have our own Operation Football app where you can get scores up to date on Friday nights. We're live on the web. It's interactive. We have kids sending in pictures and video. And it's crazy, Amos. It's crazy what's developed doing that, and I really enjoy it, though.
So now these Colts
won
a game. They weren't expected to win.
They smacked them in the mouth, you mean?
Yeah. So have you revised your feeling about how these guys are going to do?
Well, I was in the press box with all the negative media guys, and we thought they were going to get blown out Sunday. See what we know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a three-headed monster running attack now. I was just in the Colts locker room today, and to see what's developing, you start to take some pressure off of Andrew Luck, taking pressure off T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, that they got to make a big play every time. Now you got this running game, and that really changes the balance of the offense.
I heard that on the plane going out that the new guy, running back, was sitting next to Trent. Andrew Luck, and they were watching the video, and he was learning, and they were kind of schooling each other. I get the sense that this team is bonding again.
It's wild to watch this happen. You go through different times when you have prima donnas on the team, and it's all about me, what's in it for me, when do I get the ball. These guys just want to win, and I think they're all buying into this, and they watched what happened last weekend because they had six starters out of lineup. Yeah. Man, that's a ton in the NFL, and they went out and won. So now you got this buzz working all of a sudden. Hey, you know, we got guys who can step up. You know, Robert Mathis knows he doesn't have to make every play. He's got some young blood behind him that's going to come up and hit, too.
And Andrew Luck pays respects to the veterans. The veterans pay respects to him, which is unusual on a team where you got the young guys respecting the older ones and the older ones respecting the young guys.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a.
Well, Dave Calabro, you know, thank you and all the folks here at Channel 13 for the opportunity to be over here. On your set, in your house, kind of, sort of.
You're welcome anytime.
And you tell me this is Reggie's seat.
Man, you're sitting on Reggie Wayne's chair right now, so you better bring it, Amos. I'll be listening, all right? All
right.
Thanks to everybody. And if you ever need me, it's just dcalabro@wthr.com. I'm easy.
dcalabro@wthr.com. Tomorrow, guess what we're doing? Tomorrow on the show, in our 2 p.m. hour, the Minority Health Coalition is going to come on. They're going to explain the Affordable Care Act. So if you don't understand it, listen in the 2 p.m. hour, and we'll do that. And in the 1 o'clock hour, the city wouldn't tell me how many lifeguards they hired this summer. I had to act like Bob Siegel. I had to threaten them and do all kind of stuff. So tomorrow we will answer the question, how many lifeguards were there? How many lifeguards attended IPS? How many lifeguards were diverse or undiverse? All that is in our 1 o'clock hour tomorrow. I'm Amos Brown. We thank the folks over at WTHR Channel 13. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.